All right. Well, apparently Steve has some setting up to do for a few minutes. So while he's doing that, I'm basically going to introduce him again. So Steve, as I mentioned earlier, is a pastor at the Rio Church in El Paso. I first got to know Steve in the late 90s. I came to faith around then while I was a college student. And when I came into the church, Steve was a pastor here in Fort Collins, but he was in the process of planting a church in Greeley. And so some of you, Greeley was planted as Steve, his family moved over there with a few other people. And so he was in Greeley, but there was still overlap between our churches, and we partnered together quite a bit, and we did in missions, especially. And I went on a couple mission trips to Honduras with Steve. And as we were preparing for those trips, we would have team meetings in Greeley sometimes, and so a bunch of us from Fort Collins would drive over to Steve's house in Greeley to meet together to get ready for our trip. And at one of those meetings, we came over to Greeley, and Steve told us, hey, tonight we are going over to the house where our college ministry, our college group is meeting, and we're going to steal all their shoes. So we drove over there, and there was this house there, and again, their college group was meeting there, and you could open the front door, and they were meeting around the corner, and so where they were meeting, they couldn't see the front door, but they had taken off all their shoes. And they were just, there's a big pile of dozens of shoes at the front door. And so Steve led us to sneak up, open the door, and take all of their shoes. And so we were taking shoes, and we were caught right in the middle of it. This girl poked her head around the corner and saw us pilfering all their shoes. And so we grabbed as many shoes as we could, and we ran away. And Steve was teaching me that thievery was good for team building. And so we stole shoes. What I found out was that Steve was also in the middle of this prank war with his college group. And what he had just done, I believe, this may be urban legend, I think this is correct, but Steve had just remodeled his house, and he had an old spare toilet that he didn't need anymore. And so what he did is he broke into the truck of one of his college students, a pickup truck, and removed the bench seat and replaced it with the toilet. And just left it there. And so the guy came to his truck and opened up the door, and there was just a toilet there where his seat was supposed to be. And he had to drive it. He had to drive it home. And it was a stick shift. Toilet was, of course, not bolted down, so it was tippy. And so he had to drive through the town, sitting on a toilet in his truck, shifting. So that was my introduction to Steve. And so a man that does that can be respected. But another reason to respect Steve, there's, of course, this. But I just heard from Tom Schwieger on the way up here. Tom was driving his car with a carload full of people, and it broke down. And some part on the radiator broke, and it overheated, and so he was stuck and called Steve. And Steve had gone a different way, and he was 3 hours out of the way. But Steve drove 3 hours out of his way to bring a part to Tom and his vehicle so that they could keep going and come on up here. And so Steve is willing to sacrifice like that. I think it would have been easy to say, no, I got to get up here. I have 4 teachings to prepare. I'm kind of a big deal. And make his way up here. But he didn't, and that just shows some of his heart to serve. But Steve is here really because he's teaching us in large part because I was having a conversation with a dad here a few months ago, and he described something that really touched his son, his teenage son, listening to Steve, that Steve gave a message several years ago called Chicken Evangelism, and it was just a message about sharing the gospel in faith and in courage. And it really struck this young man, and he was inspired to do hard things, even because Steve made it very accessible. And so I'm really excited to have Steve share with us. I think he has just a way of bringing God's truth in a way that that connects with us and challenges us and really inspires us to apply God's word in simple ways. And so I'm going to turn it over to Steve now.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate that intro. It's the longest intro I've ever had, so that's pretty awesome. Makes me feel pretty amazing. So just in case you're wondering, I had to drive that guy's truck around the block once. It's really hard to drive a truck when you're sitting on a toilet. And like the steering wheel was like pressed up against my legs, and then every time I went around the corner, the toilet wanted to fall over, so that was a little tricky. And I almost didn't go help Tom, just for the record. It's like, oh, that's painful. But I did, so. It all worked out. I'm glad that all the El Pasoans were able to make it here in a reasonable time. So let me take a minute here to introduce myself a little bit more in case that wasn't enough. As Aaron mentioned, I am from El Paso. We've been there about 17 years, and it's a pretty amazing place. It's in the desert, and our house is about 10 miles from Mexico, and I hope that table doesn't give way. 10 miles from Mexico, about a half mile from New Mexico, so we're just on the very western edge of Texas, just kind of barely in this country. And so we've been there 17 years. We were in Greeley for 10 years before that. I was one of the pastors there in the Greeley Church. I was actually in this church probably the 10 years before that. I was one of the pastors back when we were a little tiny church that met in a Holiday Inn here in town. And so that's just a little bit of my journey. So this is my family, and we have 8 kids. And so that explains why I'm so old and I still have kids here in this conference. So I've been doing these conferences for a really long time. So 8 of those are Blaze, Hope, Silas, Kasiah, Malia, Jaira, Jay-Z, and Zareb. And the gal there on the left is my wife, Kathleen. She was over here somewhere. She's still there. She's in the back taking a little nap. No, she's in the back fervently praying for me. And the very far right, the last two are Jay-Z and Zareb, and they're around here somewhere. Do you guys want to raise your hands? Over there. Okay, so they are probably 2 of the most amazing 8 kids in the world. So that's kind of fun. Really enjoy those guys. They're kind of the caboose of our family, and so they've been a huge blessing to us. I like to hike and trail run. This is Tom that I'm with. He's the one whose car broke down. And we're at the top of North Franklin Mountain there, I think. You can get a little bit of a feel for what El Paso's like. I don't know if that's winter or summer or spring. It's all pretty much the same in El Paso. I like to trail run, which is a lot like hiking, except you spend a little bit more time in the emergency room. Yeah, so I got involved in this group of churches right outside of high school. So when I went to college, I connected with this group of young people who were pretty amazing. And I decided I wanted to run with these people. Decided that these people were following Jesus in a way that I hadn't ever seen before and that I thought was really cool. I was raised conservative Baptist, good church. We believed in Jesus. We believed in the gospel. And we believed in people going to other countries and sharing their faith and things. And that was cool. But I saw these people, they were doing this crazy stuff on campus. Like they were going out and sharing on the street corners after the bars would let out. And they would share to people as they're coming out of the bars and have these great conversations with them. And they would be on campus passing out flyers and stuff as people were walking by. And sometimes they'd be doing protests. And I thought these were the weirdest people in the world. But I love that they were putting their faith into action. And I didn't agree with everything they believed. I didn't agree with everything they were doing, or at least I didn't want to do that kind of stuff, because I'm more on the shy end of the spectrum. But I thought, man, I want to run with these people. And so I connected with this group. I don't know if you found me yet, but I am kind of front and center there. That's me. And I still know some of these people. Some of these people are still doing well. Some of them not so much. Some of them have kind of lost the faith and gone off and are doing other things. And I want to talk about our conference theme. The conference theme is putting it into practice based upon a teaching that Jesus gave that we're going to talk about here today. So God doesn't want us just to believe things or know things, but to put into practice the teachings of Jesus. And so that's what we're going to talk about, and all four teachings will be related to that. I want to start off just looking at this verse. It says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Man, that's important. I've been at a lot of conferences like this, and it's always groups of young people who are just amazing, excited about God, and just seems like doing really well, thriving. And then 3, 4, or 5 years later, some of them aren't doing so well, and that's hard. When I look at my family picture, it looks like a bunch of nice, young, amazing people, but I look at it, it's like, oh, my heart's broken that they're not all thriving, that one of them's drifted away. When I look at the picture of all the people there in that college student group meeting, it breaks my heart that, like, some of them, it's like, I mean, most of them I don't know what happened to them, but there are some that's like, ugh, some of them didn't make it. Some of them did. Praise God for that. Some of them didn't. And so we must pay the most careful attention to what we've heard so that we do not drift away. That is so important. I want you to think about this question. And the question is really simple. What does God want you to do? This isn't a hard question. Just, is there anything off the top of your head that you're like, I think God wants me to do this thing, or God wants me to stop doing this thing? Does something come to mind? We'll come back to that in just a little bit. Our main takeaway here is going to be this: to apply or cry. You apply the teachings of Jesus, or you look back on your life brokenhearted, you cry that things have turned out the way that they have. And we want to apply everything he teaches, or we foolishly experience the destruction of doing our own thing. Really simple idea. Super simple idea. All the things we're going to learn tonight and tomorrow are going to be really simple. But, oh, it's so important. Let's just pray again real quickly here. Lord, we pray, God, that you would speak to us, that each of us would hear from you. I'm so often struck by just what different places people are in. Some have been following you for years. Some are new to following you. Some maybe aren't even following you yet. Some are in a great spot. Some are in a horrible spot. Some are so encouraged and full of joy. Some are brokenhearted. God, I cannot address all those things, all those emotions, all those places people are coming from. But God, your Holy Spirit can speak to each one of us. And so we pray that your word would come alive to us, that we would hear from you, and that we would walk away with the things that are on your heart. I pray, God, that you would encourage us, inspire us, take us by the hand, take us in a good direction. And God, that we would have the courage to step into what you have for us. So we ask for your blessing here. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to look at different teachings of Jesus here tonight and tomorrow. And let's start with this one here in Matthew 7. This is kind of at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came, the streams rose, The winds blew, beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. And it's a pretty simple concept, but I want to just draw that out a little bit, see what that might look like in a little demonstration here. And so, let's see, I shouldn't walk in front of that speaker, I see. Okay, so let's start off with some wind. Let's see, we got a house on the rock here. We'll start with that one. I gotta attach the little straw. Okay, so the winds blew. Okay, not much happened there. Okay, they beat against the house a little bit. Let's not kill them just yet. Then the rains came. The rains came, and the rains fell on the house. And it says it beat against the house, so let's try that a little bit. Well, you want to see this one. You got to imagine it being down here, though, right? Okay. Sorry, Aaron. So, that's Jesus' teaching. What's he trying to say there? What's the point? What's he want them to walk away with? Well, it's pretty simple except for one problem. The little kid song ruins it, right? Because the little kid song is, the wise man built his house upon the rock, the wise man built his house upon the rock, and that part's okay. But then it says, so build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, so build your life on the Lord Jesus. That's great. That's a really good thought. It's true, I think. I think that's probably a true doctrine. So that's not Jesus's point here, though, is it? No, it's a little bit different. He says, the one who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, the one who hears these teachings and puts them into practice is like this house. The one who does not put them into practice is the foolish man, and it's like this house. That's what he's teaching. He's saying, you gotta take the things I've been teaching and you gotta do them, you gotta put them into practice. Otherwise, it's like this. It ruins you. Okay, so what's he been talking about? Well, again, it's the Sermon on the Mount, so he's been talking about a whole bunch of different things. Just a real quick overview on some of them. He talks about anger and adultery and lust, sexual immorality, divorce, oaths, swearing, turning the other cheek, loving your enemy, giving, fasting, prayer, taking the log out of your own eye, forgiveness, not storing up money for yourself, judging others, the golden rule, all these things he's been talking about and more. I mean, it's just, like three chapters? Not a ton of stuff. And he's saying, okay, you've been learning all this stuff, and hey, it's great that you're learning this stuff, but I want you to understand, now that you've heard the stuff, you actually have to put it into practice. You have to do these things. And so I want to just dig into that a little bit more and think about that. So knowing what to do means little. Knowing what to do is good. We want to know the right things, but we need to put those things into practice. Last year at this meeting, the Winter Teen Conference, while we were playing games and eating and doing stuff, somebody went through and they stole money. They stole money out of people's purses and bags and stuff. Why'd they do that? They didn't know? They didn't know you're not supposed to steal? Like, they'd never heard of the Ten Commandments? Should we just start off every conference, maybe covering the Ten Commandments and say, hey guys, you know, during the next 24 hours, there should be no murdering, no stealing, no false testimony, no adultery. Let's just get all the bases covered here. Well, no, that wasn't the problem, right? Whoever it was, and I don't think they ever found the person, it's still a mystery. Whoever it was, knew that it was wrong, right? That's why they didn't do it in front of anyone. That's why they haven't been caught yet. They knew it was wrong. It wasn't knowledge that was the problem. It was applying the knowledge. It was obeying. It was putting into practice the things that they knew. And so knowing what to do doesn't really mean that much. For me, I think it was about 3 years ago or so, I went to my primary care physician, my doctor, and he did the normal blood test stuff, and he said, you have high cholesterol. My cholesterol's always been just a little bit high. And he's like, so I need to put you on meds. And that was kind of irritating to me because I liked my doctor, and I didn't want to have to switch doctors. It's like, I'm not doing that. I don't know why. I don't like to take meds unless I'm dying or something. It's not like I'm totally against them. And so I talked him into letting me lose some weight and exercise some more and things, and I got my cholesterol down. But something like that, it's not a matter of knowing it. I knew that I should eat healthier. I knew that I should exercise. I knew that I shouldn't like eat a whole bag of Doritos. But I really like doing that stuff, you know? And so it wasn't just knowing it, it was putting it in practice. And lots of stuff's that way, right? Our weight is that way. School's that way. Like if I say, hey, you know, it's really important that you do well in school, you're not scratching your head like, I wonder what I should do. It's like, I should probably quit playing so many video games and I should study some. So much stuff in life is that way. It's not just what we know, it's applying what we know. And that's what Jesus is teaching here. And so it's interesting, even in this teaching, that the idea of building your house on a rock or building your house on a foundation is not like a new concept. Jesus didn't introduce that. They've been building houses on foundations for so long, it's possible that Adam built his house on a foundation. I mean, it's been like forever. Maybe his first few houses he didn't do that, but he lived long enough. He probably was eventually like, I should maybe quit using sand. I should build my house on a rock. And so for someone to build on the sand would have been so foolish because everybody knew that you didn't do that. You can't do that. But you have to do the right thing. Knowing the right thing doesn't work. You have to do the right thing and build your house on the foundation. And so if you go to church, read your Bible, pray regularly, but you don't practice the things that God has been teaching you, then you're like Jesus was talking about. You're like the foolish man or the foolish woman. And we don't want to be that. We don't want to be foolish. That's the way the Pharisees were a lot, right? They knew a lot. They knew all the teachings, but they didn't apply them. Sure, they knew you're supposed to love people, but they didn't love people. They didn't love God, but they knew that you should love God. We have to apply the teaching. So I knew a pastor one time, just as an example, and he was really wise. He was so smart. I mean, he knew scripture inside and out. Sometimes he'd be sharing stuff, just the most obscure passages. It's like, how do you even know that? And he knew teachings on sexual immorality. In fact, I had sat with him once and we counseled a guy who was struggling with some sexual sin. And so I had heard him teach things from the stage. I had heard him talk personally on this topic. I know that he knew these things. And here's one of the things that Jesus taught. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. And I think in this teaching, probably Jesus isn't speaking quite literally. It's a bit of an exaggeration, trying to bring a point across, because if we did that literally, we would all look like pirates, right? We would have eye patches and hooks for hands. And so even though it's not a literal thing that we should go do, it is something that we should take seriously. Maybe not literally, but seriously. Like, wow, God really hates sin. This is such a dangerous area. And this guy I knew, great pastor, amazing speaker, so gifted, best speaker I've ever heard, including national speakers, violated this teaching. He committed adultery. And he lost everything, right? He lost his church group. He lost his influence. He lost his pastorship, which I suppose he lost his income. He lost the mission that he was reaching out to. He lost really the thing that he was giving his life to. Just everything. Everything. It was like this. He lost it all. When your house tips over, it's like, oh, I guess that's it. I lost it. Why? Well, it wasn't because he didn't know it. He knew it. He probably could have shared a bunch of the Greek words out of that passage. But he didn't apply it. We have to apply the teachings of Jesus. What we know is great. But what we apply will really make the difference. So knowing what to do means little. Not following Jesus' teachings will destroy your life. We've probably all seen videos of people maybe after a forest fire maybe around here, or a flood, or a tornado or something. They're being interviewed, they're kind of standing in front of their house, which is like a big pile of rubble, right? And they're like, oh, you know, I lost everything, and we don't have insurance, and they're sharing their story. And they just look so hopeless, right? Like, just everything behind them is destroyed. They're not even, like, picking out stuff. I'm like, well, let's salvage what I can. They understand, I just lost everything. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you know, when you don't follow my teachings, it's like that. It's like a tornado. It's like a flood. It's like a forest fire. It just ruins everything. So we need to apply his teachings, or I want to say apply or die. I felt like cry was a little more appropriate. It's like you're just like just weeping, like, I just lost everything. And I've seen people do that with their lives, just like the guy I was just telling you about. He didn't apply it. And I'm sure he shed many tears. A lot of people shed tears over the choices that he made. And so let me share just a few more examples of how I've seen this played out in people's lives. One of the things, again, in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus talked about was anger. And he says, I tell you, anyone who's angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, which is like a term of contempt, is answerable to the court. Anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. And I knew this guy, he's a married guy, and he had an anger problem. And he would get in fights with his wife and start, you know, yelling at her and getting angry. And for a while they were in not living together and even in different countries at times. And he would start yelling at her and stuff. And he would say just the meanest things, like, you're so dumb. You're so foolish. You could never have a job. You could never do anything right because you're such a loser and you've always been just really, really mean stuff. And, of course, eventually she'd hang up on him. And then she would be off the phone. He would start texting her. And he would send her, like, 60 texts in 3 minutes. I'd be like, wow, that's like a miracle. How do you do it? He's like, what are you doing? Why do you hang up? What's wrong? And what are you doing? And are you going to leave now? And just blah, 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 blah. And then again, kind of, you're so stupid. You're so dumb. I can't believe you do that. You're just ruining everything. Blah, 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 blah. Just abusive texts. Like, just again and again and again and again. And then she would, you know, like a day later, they would talk. And she'd be like, oh, you're so mean. And you said this. He's like, I didn't say that. And she's like, yes, you did. That's why I hung up. I wouldn't say that. And she's like, look at your texts. You sent like a billion texts to me. And look at what you said here. Look what you said here. And he'd be like, I don't remember doing that. And his anger was so consuming, it like affected him mentally. He couldn't even remember all the mean things he was doing. Okay, now I know that you're not a pastor. You haven't been trained in counseling. You're not a psychologist. I want you to think about this. What happened to his marriage? Yeah, this, right? That's what happened. He destroyed his marriage. And you might think, well, yeah, anger, I mean, it's not a big deal. Everybody struggles with it. And guys, you know, there's testosterone. We kind of make it into this no big deal. But it was a big deal. He knew this teaching. He didn't apply it. He didn't change. Another thing that Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount is forgiveness. We're going to talk more about this in our last session. He says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. And boy, that can be such a struggle to forgive people. I knew a guy who had a hard time forgiving his former pastor. And his former pastor, it wasn't like he had been abusive to him or yelled at him or done anything like that, but just I think he felt like the guy played favorites and didn't recognize the greatness of this guy I knew. And so he would talk to me about, you know, well, you know, this other thing that he did, I was thinking about it, he did this. And I was thinking about, you know, all these people who became pastors that he recognized as pastors as all because they were important or because they had these jobs and they were from influential backgrounds. And he would just come up with all these offenses this guy had done. The guy had been his pastor like 20 years ago. And so it would be like George W. Bush. If somebody came into this meeting, they're all angry, and they're like, ah, George W. Bush, I can't even believe what he's done to the gas prices. I mean, they were fine, and then he was president, and then all of a sudden the gas prices are way up, and they're like going on and on and on about this, and you're like, I don't know much about politics. I'd be like, he did? Like, I don't know. I don't know about George W. Bush. I don't know about gas prices. Wasn't he president like 20 years ago? Like, chill out. Like, let it go. This guy grabbed me after church one day. And usually I'm really nice with people when they talk to me, so feel free to talk to me. But he came up to me after church one day, and he's like, oh, you know what that one guy was thinking about? And this pastor, he did this, and he did this. And I'm like, stop. You have got to let it go. You must forgive him, or it will destroy you. And he said, fine, okay, yep, fine, yeah, you're right. And kind of went off in a huff. And I probably didn't handle it the best, but it was just so true. It's like I could just see it. It's just eating him alive. It was destroying his life. He had to change his perspective, or it would kill him. It would kill his faith. And it's like one or the other. Well, you can either do what Jesus says and forgive, put his teaching into practice, and you can end up over here. Or you can stay on the path that you're on and hold on to your anger and think of all the offenses this guy has done. And you can do this to your faith. I'm not sure exactly where he ended up. I think it was more probably on this side. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, just a little bit before the house was teaching, the House on the Rock teaching, Jesus talked about not storing up for ourselves treasures on earth. It says, don't store for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Store for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Just one more marriage example. I knew this guy that he wanted some marriage counseling and was just talking through some stuff. And I don't have any idea why he sent me this, but he sent me his budget. And just showed me all his plans. And he had all these plans about how, you know, in 5 years he was going to make this much money and he was going to make these investments. And then in 10 years he'd have this much money and then he would make these investments. And, you know, within 20 years he would just be so rich. It was just pretty unbelievable. And he had graphs and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, that's fine. It's good to plan. That's not really me. It's not my personality, whatever. But it was kind of admirable. But then I noticed, like, all the time he'd be talking about his conflict with his wife. And he'd be like, well, do you know what that cost me? you know, she left and you know, I had bought this special VRBO for us to stay at, and then she left, and so I'm paying all this, and she's not even there. Like, okay, well, it seems like the money part of it's like the smallest part of the whole thing. Why do you keep bringing this up, you know? And then he, you know, they ended up separating, and it's like, well, you know, now I have to fly to go see my own kid, and blah, 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 and, you know, oh, I can't believe I'm spending this money doing this. I have to pay these lawyers and do this thing, and it was all this money stuff. And then I guess the other thing that really bothered me is I'm not sure he had ever really put his faith in Jesus. And I kind of wondered, like this verse, it's like where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It just felt like he'd never given his heart to Jesus. And so it seemed like money was the thing that was keeping him from God. He had this idol, this thing that he wanted, and it was destroying him. And so at the top there, our main point, not following Jesus' teachings will destroy your life. So we see that with the anger, right? We see that with the forgiveness. We see that with the love of money. Just with everything Jesus teaches, you can see it played out in people's lives that when they don't apply the teachings of Jesus, it destroys them. I do not want you to feel guilty tonight. I don't think that was Jesus' point. I don't think he was like teaching all this stuff, you know, hey, I just went over these 20 things and now I want you to go home and feel bad. You know, he's like, okay, I've been teaching you all these things, now I want you to apply them so that you can live a different life, so you can have this instead of this. Life's still hard. You still get a little beat up. But you don't have to have this. And Jesus was giving hope. Jesus was giving hope. And that's our next point. Applying Jesus' teachings brings a hopeful future. Let's not do that verse quite yet. So, anyway, again, I'm not saying anything about you guys. You know, I think you guys are on a great journey, right? You're here. You're seeking God. You're trying to apply the teachings of Jesus. And I want to encourage you, there's hope as you stay on that journey. A lot of you have already been on a long journey. You've overcome really hard things in your life. You're making daily choices to follow God. That's so good. That's such a blessing. You've been clinging to God. I want to encourage you, cling to him even more tightly. God wants you to set a course of following him. And understandingly, we're not going to do that perfect. I don't do that perfectly. You're not going to do that perfectly. But I want to set this course of I'm trying to follow him in the areas of my life, in my sexuality, my anger, with putting him first, with my money, with all that stuff. I want to follow him. I want to put his teachings into practice because I want a good life. I want to stand firm to the end. A couple of verses that kind of summarize this concept. Probably you're familiar with these already. James 1:22, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says, otherwise you're only fooling yourselves. A lot of people know the teachings of Jesus, but they don't apply them. We need to put them into practice. We need to apply them. In John 14, Jesus said, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Jesus is saying, like, hey, if we think that we love him, but we're not following him, it's like, that's probably not really true love. He's saying if we love him, we'll put his teachings into practice. The one who loves him will follow his commands and keep them. And so that's what we want to do. That's what we want to set our course on. And when we do that, then there's hope. There's hope in following him. So what makes the difference? What makes the difference? This isn't on the PowerPoint. I think it is on your sheet, though. just kind of trying to capture what people are thinking. I think sometimes people have this attitude of, well, I don't even want to know what God says because this is what I'm going to do. You know, we set this course of like, I'm just going to do this thing and it's all going to work out. Or we can say, I don't care if it's wrong, I'm going to do it anyway. And I think there can be this perspective, even for Christians, I think it can be hard because we're like, well, because God's a God of grace and he's going to forgive us and it's all going to work out. Well, God was a God of grace when Jesus gave this teaching too. In his grace, he taught us to follow him so that this doesn't happen to our lives. And we need to trust in the things that he says. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If we set our heart on doing the wrong thing, it just doesn't bode well for our lives. We want to be so careful to follow him, to obey him. So instead of saying those types of things, what we want to say is, I don't care if it's hard. I don't care if I got hit by a baseball bat and it cracked the roof. I'm going to keep following him. I'm going to keep following. And we need that kind of determination. And not that it all depends on us, but it's just this crying out to God like, oh, God, I see how easily I could fall. I really want to stay the course. And I'm going to try to apply the things that you've taught me. I want to share one practical example that I think is something that most people struggle with. It's also a struggle, I think, in particular for young people. I don't know. I think it's for all people, but it is a uniquely new challenge after you hit puberty, I guess. So it's our sexuality. Let's talk about that a little bit more. Matthew 5:27 says, Jesus is speaking. He says, you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so he's looking out at this crowd, and there's people that are like, well, yeah, we shouldn't commit adultery. And it, probably they're thinking that's one of the biggies, right? Adultery and murder. Like, those are really bad. You don't want to do those. And Jesus shifts it a bit and is saying, well, yeah, but if you just lust after someone, that's very similar. It's like you've committed adultery, but in your heart. And then everybody's like, oh, that's not good. Suddenly he took one of the worst sins and he made it so that it applied to all of us. It's like, okay, that's not so cool. So if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out. Throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. And we've already talked about the sum. I want to think about it just a little bit more. So we need to understand that our culture has its standards. So there are things that our culture believes is wrong. So for example, in our culture, we still think adultery is wrong. Because it breaks a promise. It violates a trust. And so most people are going to say, yeah, that's bad. We don't want to do that. Human trafficking's wrong. When you steal somebody and basically make them a slave, well, that's wrong. Well, we don't want to do that. Yeah, our culture agrees with us on that. Child molestation, our culture thinks that's wrong. And so these are things that people do that still pretty much everybody believes is wrong, probably even the people engaged in those behaviors. We understand those things are wrong. And so that's great that our culture thinks that those things are wrong. Our culture has a standard, but we need to understand God has a higher standard. And that's where Jesus brings up adultery. We're like, oh, yeah, those bad adulterers. And Jesus is like, yeah, but you know what? The lust is wrong too. And so the culture has a standard, but God has a higher standard. And so we want to come in line with his teaching, apply his teaching, not the teaching of our culture. Our culture says that whatever consenting adults choose to do is okay. Consenting means you're in agreement. So if you get two adults that are like, hey, we don't care what the Bible says, we're going to do this and we're both okay with it, we're not hurting anybody. And a lot of people have that perspective of sin when it comes to sexuality. And so, for example, pornography. You know, they might say, well, nobody's really getting hurt, and I can look at pornography if I want to. Sex before marriage, super common, right? Super, super common. And again, it's like, well, everybody's doing it. It's not that big of a deal. Nobody's getting hurt. Everybody's agreeing with this. Homosexuality, be the same way. Kind of like, nobody's getting hurt. It's just what two people choose to do. And so that's what our culture would say on those things. But what God says is that even our most personal and private thoughts can be serious offenses to God. So even our lust, it's just stuff going on in our head. I mean, not only aren't we hurting anybody, but it's just in our head. And Jesus is like, yeah, you don't want that. That's not good stuff going on there in your head. Culture says to just let people do what they want to do. There's no judgment. Just do what you want to do. It's fine. In all kinds of sexual areas. I mean, they'll say, yeah, except, you know, the child stuff and, you know, adultery, things like that. But pretty much just do whatever you want to do. It doesn't really matter. But in this teaching, what's Jesus say? Well, it says he'll judge sin so severely that if you understood it, you would do everything within your power to live a holy life. Like if you understood how serious he was, you'd gouge your eye out or cut off your hand, if that would help. Problem is that doesn't help, right? Because it's stuff you'd have to cut off your head. You know, it's so severe. And so what we see is that the culture has these ideas and these norms that seem like, oh, yeah, okay, that kind of makes sense. But we want to look at Jesus' teachings and then apply those to our life, which could be really, really hard. Because you can have desires. You can have tendencies. You can have needs in your life that seem so significant and that truly could be so challenging for you to do the right thing. And Jesus is asking you something really hard. Like, put into practice these teachings. Follow me. Trust me. So, we have a choice. We can follow the culture, follow our feelings, follow our desires. We can do that. It's our first choice. Our second choice is we can follow Jesus. We can put his teachings into practice. And again, we want to remember there's hope in following Jesus. When we don't follow Jesus, this is where we end up. We end up like we built our house on the sand. And eventually, that just does not go well when the storms hit. And so this is just good stuff to think about. Think about this even as you read Scripture, as you're pursuing God. How do I apply this? Not how do I know it or how do I know more. How do I apply this? Let's go back to our first question. What does God want you to do? It's kind of a trick question because my thought in that was you might be coming here tonight not with God having something new for you to do, but you might already have a sense of the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. God's leading you in something. You know that God wants you to do something. And now you're going to hear another teaching and a whole bunch of other stuff you should do. I want to go back to that moment when that was all fresh and you just came with whatever you came with. Is there something that God's asking you to do? Do you need to confess? Do you need to start doing something? Do you need to stop doing something? Do you need to humble yourself? Do you need to forgive somebody? Well, do that thing. If you want to start putting into practice the teachings of Jesus, start by listening to the Holy Spirit and what he's put on your heart. And so again, the main takeaway, apply or cry, apply those teachings or we end up crying, we end up losing so much. Apply the teachings of Jesus or foolishly experience the destruction of your own thing. I'm going to give you just a minute to pray and I just want you to seek God on this and you can pray whatever's on your heart, whatever you're thinking about. Here's an example of something you could pray. You can pray this prayer if you want, something like this. God, I will set a course of following you. Help me see it when I'm not. Help me find hope in you, in your teachings. Please continue to gently correct me and guide me into your life-giving ways. So let's have 1 minute of silence here. Yeah, God, we thank you for this time here. Thank you for your teachings. Thank you, Jesus, just that you have a heart to help us. You don't want to see us have hard lives. You don't want to see us destroy ourselves. God, I look at people in my family. I look at people I grew up with. I look at people who I did a college group with. I look at people who I've met through the years, and they haven't all made it. And that's heartbreaking. I look at people who've sat in rooms like this that didn't make it. It's so challenging, God. We don't want to be those people. We want to experience all that you have for us. The grace, the joy, the hope, the guidance, the meaningful relationship. God, we want to experience that now. We want to experience that in 10 years. We want to experience that in 50 years. We want to hold tightly to you. I pray you'd help each of us on that journey. Help us to experience you in a meaningful way and to hold tightly to you through thick and thin. So we thank you for this time here tonight and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All right, thanks, Steve. That was great. Okay, well, I'm going to give you a few more details for the rest of the night and into tomorrow. First of all, after each one of these teachings, there is, of course, time and space. If you just want to process things with God, you can find a corner of the auditorium or lobby out there, and just make sure you don't let anything that lands on you just escape from your heart and your mind. Make sure you give God that time to have it really penetrate your heart. But here are a few logistics for tonight and tomorrow. Starting now, we're just going to have free time here, and we'll have free time in the gym. We'll have some games set up there. You can just hang out, play whatever you would like, or if you just want to chat here in the lobby, that's fine. We're going to have free time until about 10:30. And 10:30, we'll start wrapping it up, and we're going to have lights out here at 11. Okay, so 11 o'clock, lights will go out. For those of you that are staying here overnight, I know a lot of the locals here are heading home and are going to sleep at home, but many of you are sleeping here in the building, and so the guys will be down here on this level, mostly in the gym, and the girls will be upstairs, third floor, in the upper room. And so you can find a piece of the floor in either of those places. But again, be ready by 11 p.m. for the lights to go out. In the morning, we'll have breakfast foods and coffee set out about 7 o'clock, 7 a.m. And so you can grab some food if you want. They'll just be light breakfast foods in the gym or off of the kitchen there, just bagels and fruit and stuff like that. And so you can grab something there. And then you are free just to have time with God until 9. And so grab some food. You can hang out a little bit, but definitely get that time with God again. Make sure in the morning you spend some time hearing from God like Steve just encouraged us to do. So open up your Bible and read that and pray to him in the morning. But we will start things at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Right here. So the first session will be at 9 o'clock. We'll start with some worship again. The El Paso band's going to lead us in worship tomorrow. So that's happening. Then another thing, this is especially for seniors in high school, although juniors would be welcome also if you're interested. Over lunch, we're just going to get together, those of you that are seniors and looking ahead at post-high school, post-graduation. We're just gonna talk through some options. And I think one of those really important decisions you make post-high school is, of course, where you're going to be and who you're going to partner with. just in running with Jesus. And so we just wanted to talk through some of that with the seniors especially, but again, juniors are welcome too. And so we'll just have, we'll take part of lunch tomorrow to do that. We'll take lunch orders tomorrow morning. So be sure to be here at 9 a.m. We're going to get our order in. We're going to have Subway sub sandwiches at noon for lunch. And so we'll make sure we know what we need there. And also if there are any food restrictions to make sure that we can accommodate those. And then the last thing, just wanted to point out, we have a questions table over here. And each year for the last many years at this conference, we've had a little bit of a Q&A at the end, just where we get a handful of pastors up here on stage and take any of your questions. And they can be questions related to what Steve has shared during his teachings, or just anything that you're just wondering about related to God and related to what he wants for your life. And so I'd encourage you, if anything comes to mind, just go over there, write something on a card and drop it in the basket, and we'll try to get to some of those questions tomorrow afternoon. Okay, I think that's it for now. I'll give you more details in the morning, but for now, you're just free till 10:30, and then lights out will be at 11. All right, thanks.
I used to dive in it, but now I stay by the shore. 'Cause when you